Well, I don't know the person that's behind those eyes. Just admit it, we've been drifting now for some time. Something's closing up on me. I was turning blue, hoping you wouldn't leave, but it opened up the window. Honey, now I see that life after death is a life for me.
You're tuned into WONY 90.9 on the outside. Red Dragon Radio. Thanks for listening. Keep it locked. This is Power Radio.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. Interested in some winter fun? Happening on Wednesday, March 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. in the President's Garden, check out the Winter Carnival, which has winter-themed carnival games, delicious donut holes, hot cocoa, and even more events to explore. On Thursday, March 5th, Mask and Hammer presents the first showing of Stupid Effing Bird, happening in the Hamlin Theater at 7:30 p.m. More showings are also happening on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. On Saturday, March 7th, see the Planetarium show Messengers of Time and Space from 10:30 to 11:15 or the Sky Tonight show from 11:30 to 12:15 in the Perna Science Planetarium Room 018A. Tickets available online. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Hello, hello. It's 8 p.m. I forgot to turn the mic on, so it's going to be an awesome show. Daylight savings times, yada, yada. I just did a whole intro, and it didn't get tracked, but I have a guest. Say what's up.
Yo.
Introduce yourself. What's up with you, man?
Oh, hey, dude. I'm Julian.
Let's go, Julian.
Yeah.
Nah, Julian, good friend of mine, he hit me up, and he was like, yo, I want to be on your podcast thing, and I was like, say less. Nobody's ever reached out to me and was like, I want to be on WONY with you.
Yeah, no, it's a super nice building, and it's just cool to support the homies.
That's what I like to hear. What was your inspiration for wanting to come on?
I mean, there wasn't really anything specific. I just thought it would be nice to just talk. You know, you just see, like, while you're doom scrolling, you see, like, a whole lot of talk shows with you know, sensory videos playing in the background, and it's just cool. You know, you want to be like a part of the actual talking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this show, it's more of a talk show now, but I don't really talk about anything specific, or definitely, like, I don't touch current events. I'll talk about Smash Bros. More than I do the news, but it's up to you today, man. Like, any topic you want to talk about, you got the reins on that.
Gotcha. Okay, I mean, let's talk about the semester so far. How are you feeling about it?
I think I'm excited because it's going to get warmer out, you know?
For sure.
But so far, I've just been chilling. I do have to do more of my work, though. I need to, like, I missed some assignments by accident, and you know how that goes.
It's always an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna agree with you there, because it's super... It's been so chill that it's almost, like, unnerving, like something has to happen, but...
Yeah.
It's just been a really nice semester so far, and I'm with you there on the assignments thing.
Yeah. I think everybody is.
It's cool, though. How long have you been doing this segment?
Airbud? I started November of my freshman year. I know this is the 26th show I've done, I think.
Sweet, your 30th is almost here.
Almost coming up, yeah.
So what, are you going to make it to like your 32nd this semester?
Probably. I know by the, like, once we're starting to get out of here, I should be around 90 shows, which
That's
is a lot.
Sweet. Okay. So is it a little, like anxiety-inducing knowing that you're, like, a third of the way there, nearly?
Yeah. I mean, after this semester, we're going to be halfway done, both of us.
Yeah, that's so crazy to think about. Yeah. It's because when you start in your freshman year, you're like, wow, I have so much time here.
Exactly.
And now you're at the end of your sophomore year, and you're like, what the hell? I'm already halfway done. I imagine the transition between sophomore and junior year is probably not going to be as crazy. You know, we've been here for so long already.
For sure. Have you, like, have you met any of the freshmen?
Yeah, I'm actually in a band with one of them, and, like, I'm just a pretty social guy in general, so...
Yeah.
Like, I know people in just about every grade, but the freshmen this semester are very, like, outgoing, I think. I feel like...
No, I could see that.
Yeah, I feel like when I was a freshman, at least, everyone was a little bit, like, shocked.
Yeah.
It might just be that now, like, anyone getting into college actually, like, experienced all 4 years of high school, like, in their entirety.
Is that right?
I think so. Because I was able to get through my sophomore year.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people before us, they started freshman year, and they were, like, probably a little bit maintained from COVID, but, like, realistically, they made it past the hardest part educationally, like, for COVID.
I never thought of that like that. That's true, though. The two freshman guys I know are kind of wild. They're funny dudes. Shout out to Jack and Jackson.
I give a shout out to Luca. Luca's a cool dude.
Oh, I've met Luca. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, we're going to be trying to play for Olfactor and Skate Jam at the very least. But hopefully we get like a house show venue. I doubt it, though.
Let's go. Olfactor, that's a pretty big thing, right? Yeah. I didn't go last year.
You should definitely go. Because the winner of Olfactor gets to open up for Zara Larsson.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I'm just, in my head, as much as I love Plainview and, like, all the really good, well-put-together bands, like, the idea of Crumbling as we speak, opening up for Zara Larsson is just replaying in my head, and it's so funny. I'm just so sad, though, because if they do get to open, The tickets are sold out, so.
I believe in you. That's a fire opportunity that they give out to just open for somebody.
Sure, and I think the top three bands get to perform for like the O-Fest festival, or O-Festival, yeah.
Is that the carnival?
Yeah, the like carnival thing.
Okay, that's sick.
Last year, it was raining during the carnival.
Yeah, I remember.
And I think it was kind of cold too. So that's kind of sad. And I was working as well. So just like a triple cons.
Did you work the carnival? Nate did that.
No, I worked at alumni, like the gym.
Oh, okay.
So I just, out of the window, I got to see the people trying the zip lines and whatnot.
Yeah. I remember, I have a Snapchat memory. There was a Ferris wheel on campus, and I was like, yo, what is... I was just being a DH, you know? I was like, what's going on campus right now? I was like, pointing at it. But Nate said he got some quick bucks working at the carnival. He was like, that was so easy. I got free money. So if anyone needs money, work the carnival.
Sure. You know, like, don't be scared to, like, ask to participate in some of these school events. They're, like, super open to volunteers. Not saying you get paid for everything you do, but, you know, I think getting paid would be kind of just a plus for getting to talk to all these people that you wouldn't normally interact with. Like, I might ask to be stage crew for O Factor, if possible. Or even O-Fest, but they probably leave that one to the more experienced ones, seeing as such a big name is coming in for Oneonta.
I might be doing that, too. I'm not sure. Because, you know, Wony, like, I'm in the operations. Shout out to Magnus. So Magnus always hits us all up, and he's like, guys, we gotta do this event, set everything up. And along with that, like, the Wony group chat, we're always the ones getting hit up if an event needs a DJ, and I've been trying to snipe that as much as I can.
You DJ?
Yeah.
Oh, so I haven't actually heard you. I forget, well, is your major is music, right?
Or no, it's economics.
Economics.
Well,
no, I've never heard you DJ.
I'm rusty, and I've never been the best, but, like, it's not hard at all.
I think it's mostly about the playlist and just getting those transitions down, but yeah. A good DJ is still someone that I would respect.
A good DJ, like, DJing's got a low skill floor, high skill ceiling.
Like,
super high skill ceiling.
Because, like, when you get to the later ends of DJing where you have to, like, match keys and whatnot, you can just play around with that idea.
Yeah.
So it's like you still need to understand music to some capacity, or you can just understand what people really like to hear in the moment. And I think both of those are very cool things to watch.
And when someone has both, those are hard skills, both of those.
Yeah.
And when someone has both of them, they're like, they got all the Infinity Stones. I don't know.
For sure.
Young Lean is a really good DJ.
Don't think I've ever heard.
You never heard of Young Lean?
No.
Oh. Well, you know...
isn't DJ Khaled a DJ?
Yeah, DJ Khaled's a DJ. I don't know how good he is.
Well, he's rich. Doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah. Let's go golfing.
Yeah. Hey, we the best.
We the best.
But what were you saying about DJ Lean? Is that who?
No, Young Lean the rapper.
Young
you know,
Lean the rapper, okay.
Hold on. I can't play the song, but I could play, like, the instrumental, because you've definitely heard the TikTok audio. Ginseng Strip, 2002. Hold up, listen to this. Ooh. You heard this?
Oh yeah.
That's Young Lean. That's like his biggest song.
Yeah, which shower are you taking a shower in?
Yeah.
I think I've heard that one sped up a a few times.
Yeah. You're a music major though, right?
Yeah, I'm in music industry.
Mm.
It's cool. I mean, from what I've gathered so far, it's a very connections-based, like,
yeah,
degree. You know, like, you're here for the degree, obviously, but I think most of the, like, it's most helpful for just socializing and just understanding, like, how the world of music works in the background.
I could see that.
Yeah.
But you gotta learn... Nate's taking, like, music theory, too, right now. You gotta learn all that.
Yeah, you do. You, like, they don't want you to go into the world being, like... Like...
Being DJ
not
Khaled.
Not knowing it. Yeah, being DJ Khaled. Or, like, being, just, like, uneducated. It'd be, like, an elementary schooler in, I hope that made sense. I don't think...
It kind of does.
Yeah, but, you know, because I'm in one of Nate's class. It's a survey of music theory.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a little complex, but it's doable. Which is like, I guess, what the music industry major kind of is. It's like bordering like musicianship, but still like, I guess, just business in general. But I don't know. I'm only like halfway through, and one of my semesters was all gen eds.
Yeah, I did a gen ed semester too.
Those are lucky, like the worst ones.
Yeah. I switched majors. I was originally going for math, but then or statistics, but changed to econ.
No, me too. I was doing physics.
Really?
Yeah, and then I changed to
wow,
music industry. And it was a chemistry, honestly.
Yeah. Victor had to take chemistry twice. It's tough. Like, I wouldn't beat yourself up over not knowing chemistry.
Yeah. It's like you have to learn chemistry and then drop $80 on an online textbook.
Yep. I had to pay, like, $120 for my... I hate doing that. You gotta pay for the thing that makes you do homework.
Yeah, that's so, like, at least give us the option to be to be brokies and not buy the textbook. But no, you need to pay to do your homework, which is insane.
You can't even, like, there's no rent it out deal. It's like, get your membership, you know?
Pay for 6 months, even though you're only going to need it for, like, 2 weeks. So silly.
Now we probably got, I know at the very least, maybe Nate and maybe Leo are listening. So for everyone else who's not aware, Julian is half decent at Super Smash Bros. And really good at this game Flash Party that's totally not dying.
What the hell? Yeah, bringing up Flash Party in this environment would be... like, this isn't even ball knowledge anymore. This is just kind of sad.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I am, like, top 10 in U.S. at the very least in that game, which is very funny.
But there's only 10 U.S. players left. That's...
Maybe I'm top 3 now, you know? You can't take too much away.
Yeah, I've watched you play a good amount of that game. It's dirty work.
It's very dirty work. It's like if you put Melee and Ultimate together, but only the worst parts.
Yeah. Not everyone's. Combos. I'm telling you, Julian, everyone's getting into Ultimate.
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, one day you'll take a set win from me. You know, when I'm like sleep deprived.
No. I have the winning matchup.
Winning matchup, yeah.
Everyone's getting into Ultimate, and everyone's getting into Melee. We're, like, game swapping.
Yeah, no, me and Paul are, like, messing around with Melee a lot. Not a lot, but, like, more than I was messing around with it before.
Yeah.
It's cool. fucking feels nice. And I went 2-2 in the first melee bracket.
Let's go, man. Let's go.
I'm gonna fight John Melee. I took him to the last stock at one game, and I was like,
really?
Wow, that's interesting. And then he proceeded to do bad things with Sheik.
Yeah. Tell me about John Melee. I lost to him twice for Double Jeopardy.
Damn.
I don't know if you saw, if you looked after, but by the way, pull up to Enter the Lair if you're on campus. Come on. Every other Friday. Next one's April 3rd. Come play video games. And, yeah, just come play video games, man.
So, yeah, it's basically in a month from now.
Yeah.
Because one of them would have fallen on the spring break. So it would be the following 2 weeks after next Friday. It's cool, though. It's nice to just be, I guess.
Yeah. I love locals.
I think it's super cool just, like, bringing it to the idea of a campus where it's, you think it's super straightforward until you realize that there's people doing what we're doing right now, like a silly podcast, and then there's probably people doing things we've never heard of. Not that those are bad things, but, you know, it's hard to wrap your head around. You realize that you, like, put yourself in an environment and they don't really collide too much.
I'll make it work.
No, it's good to make it work. It's not like it's a bad environment.
What was I? Oh, yeah. If you peep, like, the standings on StarGG after, in both Melee and Ultimate, is the most evil, like, Double Jeopardy fest ever. I know Element had to DQ, but, like, SIBO beat John twice, and John beat me twice, and I beat Leo twice, and then in Ultimate, you beat Paul twice, and Paul beat Finn twice, and Finn, like, I guess with the DQ, beat Element twice.
Yeah. So
just an evil bracket, really.
That was very... Yeah, no, Smash Brothers After Party, where you finish bracket, that's
that was awesome.
That is a great night. Did they make it to bracket all right? Like, how was the morning afterwards?
I didn't check.
Oh, they were just gone when you woke up?
They headed out at, like, well, for context, a Binghamton Smash player, a couple Binghamton Smash players came over to play here, and I housed two of them at my dorm, because they went to our tournament, and then they were going to another tournament at Cornell, like, right in the morning. So, back to back. But they left at, like, 11:30, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to, like, you know, go around town, get food and stuff, but they woke up, and Santi was like, yeah, we should just, like, get out of here, man. Like, I'm that tired, you know?
Mm. Yeah. That was cool. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, for anyone who wants to know Joe's exact dorm,
right? 101 Curtis Hall. Go scream. Like, if you're in Curtis right now and you're listening to this, I want you to go downstairs to exit 2. And then, like, right there, the panel window, start yelling, Nate, 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 and bang on it, too. All right?
Nate, you owe me big time.
Yeah. Nate, you owe me money. That'll scare him.
Raise your kids, Nate. No, Natey Nate's going to be a great father the second time around.
I could see. I don't know how Nate would be as a father, but I could definitely see him having a kid.
What does that mean?
I don't even know. Nate and Henry were in Albany this weekend. I mean, I don't really know what they did. I can't comment on it, but they were at some parties. They said it was fun. And Henry came back with a haircut, which is interesting.
Is it, like, super short now, or?
No, it's just trimmed down. Yeah, you can't really tell he got one.
Yeah, speaking of haircuts, though, like, Leo, I told him this, like, when we were, like, playing. And, like, his haircut right now reminds me so much of freshman year when we were, like, first skating and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just got, like whiplash because he kept his hair super short for, like, the start of last semester. And now it's back to...
It's back to, like, a decent length.
Yeah, like a mid to long length.
It's cool.
I still got the long hair, you know?
Yeah. No, you're just there.
But it was short when I first got here. So there's, like, the first 2 months, I got pictures of me with, like, short hair. It's really weird to see.
My hair kind of did the same thing, where, like, last year it was super short, and now it's, like, a bit longer. It helps in the long run.
I've always liked your hair, though. I think it suits your face. That's really the important part about hair. It's, like, doesn't matter what it looks like. It's just got to fit the face shape.
For sure. I got, like, peer pressured years ago to... like, lock my hair up, and I think it worked out. Although I wouldn't have minded, like, having my afro still. Because it looks super nice when it's wet or, like, curled. It's just so much to maintain in the morning. And with my schedule, I don't think I would have been able to. So.
Girl who just got a septum piercing, it didn't hurt that much. How were, like, you just got snake bites.
Yeah.
How was that? Did that hurt? You said it didn't, right?
No, I've gotten, like, a cartilage piercing in the ears, and I've gotten, like, my eyebrows done. Well, wait, no, I got my eyebrows pierced. And I'd say comparing the two, the snake bites... really just feel like an ear piercing. Not a cartilage, just like a lobe piercing. But it's a very uncomfortable feeling because it's like a needle going through your lip. Yeah. But it doesn't hurt as much as you would imagine a needle going through your lip would. Yeah. I still think my eyebrow piercing might have been the most painful one. So, you know, keep that in mind, I guess.
I could definitely see that hurting. There's not much there, you know?
What, like, in the eyebrow or the lip?
In the eyebrow.
No, there's a lot more than you would expect. Like, you gotta get through the layer where the hair comes from, and then you gotta get through the layer under that. And then there's, like, some space in between, and then there's another two layers of the same thing, but reversed. So it's like you're getting pricked four times.
Ooh.
And you feel the pain from the last one until the very last one, and it's rough. But even then, it wasn't, like, the worst thing. Because I had gotten a tattoo, like, a few months before that. And they really don't hurt as much as you would imagine.
You have a tat?
Yeah, you've never seen the, like, ramen bowl on my arm?
No, wait. Hold on, I gotta see this right now. How have I never seen that? It's, like, right on your arm. Yeah. That's a tough tat.
It's cool, I like it. I'm probably going to get, like, a triangle on my chest next.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's... Tattoos just kind of feel like... It's hard to explain. Like, if you've ever gotten bit by an ant, imagine that, but, like, moving with a needle. That's kind of what a tattoo feels like.
Yeah, I've heard it described as, like... It's like scratching a sunburn.
I've never had a sunburn.
Yeah, well, you don't know what sunburn feels like.
Wow. Well, so you're just assuming I've never gotten a sunburn. I've gotten a sunburn before. It was bad, though. I'm happy to be black because, like, sunburns are very rare. The only time I ever got one was sitting still right in front of the Puerto Rico sun for, like, 2 hours straight. I woke up the next morning peeling terribly.
Yeah, now you know how it feels.
I started using a lot more sunscreen, like, on my face, though.
Henry, I bet you could expect Henry to get sunburned crazy.
Yeah, Henry. I imagine Do you get pretty bad sunburns?
Not really. Like, I get dark over summer. Like, I get really tan.
I get pretty dark over summer, too. Like, darker than usual. I like the middle ground of that color. Like, right now, I'm pale. And, like, at my worst, I'm, like, kind of charred. But right in the middle of there, I'm, like, a cool caramel color, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I like how I look all year round, like, color-wise. Yeah, we went from melee to talking about sunburns. This is already so tough.
Julian said, it's pretty cool to be black.
Yo, because it is pretty cool to be black.
Yeah, during the winter, you can't tell I'm Portuguese. And then over summer, like, I need a graph of, like, people asking me, are you Hispanic? And, like, how high it gets in August and July.
And then how it never happens.
It never happens. Like, I'm almost white as snow in winter.
It's so weird, like, how humans do that. We just change color.
We change color and then it goes back. That's the craziest part, that you don't stay tan.
Yeah, no, because basically, like, I'm pretty sure a tan is just burning, like, the very top layer of your skin.
It's like light burning, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like you're roasting your skin, and eventually, like, it replaces itself, so it goes back to whatever color or pigment it normally is. Yeah, with whatever sunlight you tend to get.
Our faces can also turn, like, blue and red, and your skin can turn yellow. Your skin can do a bunch of cool colors, you know?
For sure, but some of them are a little worrying. So.
Yeah, the reason behind the colors are a little weird. You know, if your feet are turning purple, that's not good.
But. Yeah, you know, if your ear is turning black, you might want to get that checked out. Yeah,
definitely.
And then what, like... No, in general, it's just cool what the human body can do. And your eyes, like, your eyes change color over time.
Really?
Yeah, like, when you're a baby, they're a different color. And when you're, like, older, they're a different color as well. And usually in the same, like, range of colors that they were throughout most of your life. But, like, they do change.
That's cool.
And also, like, the white part of your eyes, I forget what it's called, but the white part of your eyes can be, like, yellow.
Oh, yeah, jaundice.
Jaundice.
How do you get jaundice?
I think it's a liver problem.
Oh, you might be right. I'm gonna Jarvis that. Jaundice. Oh, yeah. Liver disease. I've never seen anybody with jaundice, but it probably sucks.
You'll probably start to see them more when you get older. Because liver damage is, like, a lifetime thing.
Yeah. Do you have any music out?
Me?
Yeah.
I do not. We were, like, practicing some stuff, and I don't know if you remember when we were, like, in the car with Finn, but I was playing some of it.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not super polished yet, so... You know, we gotta work on that. We rehearse every Wednesday now.
Let's go.
Yeah. Maybe another one of these weeks, we could, like, show you the song. But right now, it's just fresh. It's like a newborn.
Okay. Who's the... Well, first, like, list who's in the group?
There's a Luca... Ben Barish. Jacob, Aaron, and me.
Okay, I'm only aware of you and Luca.
You might have seen Jacob around. He, like, always wears a baseball cap and has glasses.
Maybe.
And Barish is, like, his ear is all pierced up. He's got, like, a nose ring, a lip ring, long hair, white.
That's a lot of people at Oneonta.
You know, it's kind of crazy that you're right. Now, just all you have to do is change the white.
Isn't that low-key Luca?
No, Luca doesn't have any piercings. Not, like, the piercings.
No lip piercings.
No lip piercings. And I haven't seen his ear.
I've only met him once, but he seemed pretty chill. He came to our dorm. I forget why. But he was just in there, and he was like, yo, I'm Luca. And we were like, okay, what's up, bro?
Yeah, no, he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
We were like, it's like an emo project. It's super funny.
What was I? Oh, yeah. Who's the brains behind your songwriting? Is it all of you?
It's, or, like, as a drummer, I don't get too much, like, or, like, I don't know enough about music to recommend stuff, but I have helped with, like, lyrics so far, and they usually have, like, a session where they're just, like, writing music, so it's a little bit of everyone, I'd say.
Hmm. Drumming is cool.
I like the drums because they give you a lot of freedom to play. Like, you can be super loud, be super quiet.
Yeah.
And you can, like, change up the entire song for better or for worse. Usually for better.
Yeah, even if it's bad, I like a beat switch. Because sometimes that bad rhythm is, like, actually good. You just need to listen to it for a second.
Yeah, you gotta listen to it 3 times, and then your brain's like, oh, okay.
That's all of jazz.
All of jazz. Just, like, play the black keys in the same key that that song is in, and you just wrote a solo.
How long you been drumming for?
I've been drumming since middle school. I was at, like, a summer camp thing, and they just made a studio for it. Do you know what the Boys and Girls Club is?
No.
Yeah, well, it was like a Boys and Girls Club, and we just got, like, a new studio, and there was a drum set, like, sitting on top of a podium, kind of. It was only, like, a foot off the ground, but it's, like, sitting on a podium, so I was like, oh, that's cool, I want to go play that, because no other instrument really, like, interests me as much at the time. But nowadays, I'm like, I think bass is pretty cool. Like, and obviously guitars. Most instruments can be super cool to me. But as a middle school kid, I was super, like, really get me on that drum set, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, 8 years now, which is super cool.
Wow.
Although there was definitely a few years where I wasn't drumming as much. So I'll just say a calm 6 years.
That's true for anything, you know. But that honestly, I think the long breaks, you come back and you're better than ever once you get the rust off.
Yeah, I feel like when you come back after a while, you get, like, a new perspective.
Yeah.
Because you forgot what your old perspective was. Yeah, it's just super nice in general. Did you pick this mix? Like, is this a podcast mix, or did you just, like, choose random calm music?
Usually I don't know when, but, like, I figured out you could just talk over some music. It could play in the background. So I was playing, like, Mario Kart stuff for a little bit. This is Pokemon music.
I know.
Or I play, like, Minecraft.
Hmm.
Because, you know, I have to play video game music.
Of course.
But it's got to be low. It's got to be low. Because the talking is the main part.
The talking is the main part.
But if there's ever a lull, you get a couple notes of Little Root Town. One of these was fire that was playing before. Snow Point City, that's a good song. But It's kind of slow.
Yeah, no, it's super scary. Do you have a horror story?
Do they got Driftvale in here? That's what I'm trying to hear. What's your favorite Pokemon game? That's a good question.
Well, my very first Pokemon game was Pokemon Shield.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun. Or I mean, do you want to count like Brick Bronze?
Yeah, that counts.
Okay, then I'd say Brick Bronze.
Because that was like my second Pokemon game.
Yeah, Brick Bronze was super fun. But like mainline games, I'm probably going to have to say Shield. Like I really like Shield. It's just, it's so different than the other games.
That's Gen 8?
Yeah. What's your favorite starter?
Ooh, Oshawott.
Oshawott. Do you like Oshawott more than Samurott? Or do you think Samurott's the reason why Oshawott's your favorite?
If I had to rank them, Oshawott's the worst. I think the middle evolution's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one that's like dark blue, right?
Yeah.
That one is super cool. That's probably one of the better middle evolutions.
I glazed Doowat. It used to be my favorite Pokemon because I just look so cool.
Yeah, my favorite is Treecko. I really like Treecko.
Mm. Is Sceptile your favorite Pokemon or nah?
My favorite Pokemon is probably Iron Valiant. Yeah, do you
know what the Paradox Pokemon look like, but I don't know which one that is.
It's like the one that kind of looks like Gardevoir and Gallade.
That's tough. That's a tough pick.
Yeah. I like that evolution line too. Just the Ralts line. Super nice.
Honestly, the only reason I don't know Iron Valiant is because it wasn't good and competitive. If like anything past Gen 6, I only know the competitive Pokemon.
Yeah, all the Paradox Mons were a little iffy and competitive because they all had the same like, oh, you boost this random stat in electric terrain. But
yeah.
Like, why would you be using electric terrain for anything but that? But he's a cool Pokemon. I don't know. If you've played Pokerogue.
I have. I've beaten Pokerogue.
Oh, sweet. I made it to floor 200 a few times, but I haven't beat it yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a lucky duck because the first time I got to 200, I just won. And I was like, oh, I won.
Yeah. I use an Iron Valiant in that one. It's like beefed up. It has like Secret Sword and fucking. Oh.
You're good.
Okay. Yeah. It has like a Secret Sword and an ability that turns all super effective attacks into super, super effective attacks.
Was that eight times?
Yeah, I think so.
That's Pokerogue, like, that game was so addicting. Me and Leo would play for at least 2 hours a day, just straight. And then once I beat it, it was like, I'm free. I can stop playing Pokerogue.
Yeah. I'm waiting for them to add the new Megas.
Oh, they added Megas?
Well, they've always had Megas in the game, but the newest ones, like from ZA.
Yeah, the Pokerogue Strat is the G-Max Venusaur.
Yeah, just Leech Seed.
I did it with, what is that thing called? Skeledirge.
Skeledirge is cool with the Torch Song.
I did Torch Song Skeledirge. And then I just, like, I had a Max Luck in the background, and I had a Furret with Pickup, or a Zigzagoon, so that you get all the berries, and then you just boost the hell out of your Skeledirge.
Yeah, I have yet to use a Pickup Strat, but I did have pretty good luck. I had, like, 3 Red Shinies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's this super fun game, and it's free, and it's a browser game.
Yeah, the fact that it's a browser game is my favorite part.
Yeah.
Because you can just boot it up anywhere.
Whenever I brought my laptop to work, I would just play that game. That's super cool.
Yeah. I didn't realize how lucky I got, though, because I honestly beat it pretty quick. I just got blessed with, like, a red shiny Zigzagoon with pickup.
That, just like the freest slot pick of your life.
Yeah.
Like, what does that one even cost? Like one?
Yeah, one.
Dude.
So. And then in the run that I won, do you know the DNA splice girl?
Yeah.
It was on like floor like 170 or something like that. And I had never gotten past is it like plasma or whatever? Like there's like a Getsis fight or something like that.
Yeah. It basically shuffles through every trainer and it picks a random evil team for you to fight.
It's like the evil team gauntlet. I had never gotten past that. And I was sitting on the screen. I was like, yo, Leo, like, I'm so far. Do I DNA splice? And he was like, man, like, you're probably not going to win. Like, just do it. And I rolled. I got the luckiest team ever. Swept through Getsis, swept through the Elite Four, and then just won.
Yeah, the Giratina girl is what you're talking about, right?
I had
the, like, mysterious
too.
Figure?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I ran through that one too, and I got a pretty good pick. I got like a Groudon with the Cleaver's signature move.
Oh my! Wow.
Yeah, no, it was sweeping through, but then you know, I had to fight Gary, and his Blastoise like swept me.
Mm. Yeah, that's like. My only issue that's not really an issue with Pokérogue is that past floor 150, if you lose, it's because you got swept.
Basically. Like, or because you forgot that your team had a weakness, and then the strongest possible version of that weakness is on the person's team.
Yep.
Like, you never realize that you have, like, a rock weakness until a plus 4 boost Cleavor is just there.
Yeah, sometimes wild Pokemon will take you out.
Yeah, if you're trying to catch it.
Yeah. Like I lost to like the boss Articuno or something like that. Because I had a bunch of dragons and they just... Dragons and flying types just got wrecked.
For sure.
Pokemon, I don't like... It's just infinitely popular.
I think Pokemon's going to be one of those games that survives, like, the next few centuries.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it dying, like...
Like, I could imagine people getting bored of, you know, playing Mario games, but Pokemon is just...
Or, like, the Mario games just, they run out of ideas.
Yeah, I can already see that happening. Odyssey was great, though.
Odyssey was very cool. But then, like, Wander was a little...
Yeah.
like an elephant power-up?
I guess so.
It definitely keeps things interesting, but it doesn't... It being too interesting is a bad thing.
Yeah.
For some people. I think, like, it's a very creative idea. It's just of all the things you could have done. It should have just been a game based around animals instead. Like why just the elephant?
Elephant was a weird one to pick, too.
No, like, you could have had, like, an elephant, and then, like, a cheetah, and then, like a bird or something, but no, it was just an elephant.
Like, there's something in my head that makes penguin suit, cat suit, tanuki suit, they all make sense, and elephant is just...
It's because they turn into an elephant.
It's so in left field for me.
Very...
Oh, I was gonna... I don't know. I was thinking about Pokemon. I was about to say something. I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Oh. This is my, like, Nathaniel Bandy take, but they should make another Mario RPG. I feel like they're missing out on that.
For sure. I think RPGs in general are just, like, a... kind of a money laundering, like like, if you make a good RPG, like, and you're already a very popular company, I don't see like what the worst that could happen is,
because anything could be an RPG.
Everything, like, whenever we get like VR technology that can kind of support, like, something along the lines of Sword Art Online. You imagine, like, a Final Fantasy RPG.
Yeah.
Like that's going to bring in so much money.
I've never played... See, I'm a LARPer. I've never played Final Fantasy, never played Kingdom Hearts. I just never, like...
LARP.
for our gen, and especially the people you see at Melee Brackets, they love Kingdom Hearts for some reason. People love that game.
Yeah, I have a friend that's like a huge Kingdom Hearts fan. It's endearing just seeing somebody so happy for this game that I don't know too much about. I do think the characters are just nice to look at. It's like a Final Fantasy met Disney, so.
That's the weirdest part of the game to me. It's cool, but I'm like, oh, it's Sora and Mickey now.
And Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
And then Sephiroth and Cloud.
So Sora, in Ult, Sora has a little Mickey on his Keyblade.
Yeah. Yeah, Mickey Mouse is in Smash Brothers Ultimate, some way, shape, or form.
People always talk about Steve, but I think the Disney collab is way crazier. Way crazier.
I feel like the Steve collab isn't even that insane.
No, not at all.
Who was before that?
Microsoft owns them, but it's Mojang. That's like an indie studio. Of course they want Steve and Smash.
Yeah, so it was like I would argue even like Joker is kind of crazy that be in the game.
Yeah, Joker's a cool one.
I figured, because Persona isn't Nintendo property, is it?
No, that's, I gotta Jarvis that.
Is it Sony?
It is, but, like, I don't know the studio. Developed by P Studio. Is that PlayStation? P Studio Games? I've never heard of this. P Studio Games is a division of Atlus, which is owned by Sega. Who owns Sega?
Sega. I'm pretty sure Sony owns Sega, doesn't it? No.
No, Sega's its own company. What?
Yeah, it's a Japanese company, I guess. Sega Sammy Holdings.
So, Persona, Sega. I mean, Sonic's already in Smash. Is Sonic still Sega?
Yeah. Are you serious? Sonic's probably the reason why Sega's even its own company.
Yeah.
And then we have, like, Bayonetta in the game. Which is low-key just, like, having Dante in the game, but I'm pretty sure Nintendo owns Bayonetta now, so...
Hmm.
And then... Even, like, Tekken. A Tekken rep in Kazi is kind of insane. And then there's, you know, Steve and... King of Fighters is a random pool for, like, Ultimate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Banjo-Kazooie. Those are probably kind of crazy.
Banjo... I think Banjo... If Banjo was in Brawl, it would be insane. But it's been so long, and Rare hasn't done anything with Banjo. And putting them in Ultimate is kind of like putting Ice Climbers in Melee. It's like a legacy pick. Sonic in Brawl was insane, though. That was lit.
Yeah, I bet so, like... He just pulls up out of nowhere, and you're like, what? Because that was still when Sega and Nintendo, like... Was that, like, peak Console Wars?
Nah, that wasn't peak Console Wars anymore, but Sonic was still, like, distant.
Yeah. We could have gotten Kratos in Smash Ultimate.
Yeah.
They were just trying to do shit with Brawl, though, because what the James Bond was supposed to be in the game.
I'm pretty sure James Bond was supposed to be in either Brawl or Melee, which would have been so funny. People talk about Joker's gun, but James Bond would actually just be shooting, shooting Mario.
That, and I feel like that'd be awesome. Maybe in the next game.
Yeah, Smash 6, when's that coming out?
Yeah, sometime in the next few years, maybe.
Are old players excited for that or not?
I think old players are dying out. Not really. I think in general, though, it's like, obviously we're excited for a new Smash game, but Smash is one of those games where you don't know that you're getting another game until a year before it comes out.
Yeah.
Unlike GTA 6, which, you know, we've been waiting, what, like 10 years for?
So glad. I have, like, little investment in GTA. I've been waiting for it for a long time, but I won't be playing it, you know?
Yeah, I will not be playing it either. By the time it comes out, the next gen of consoles is going to be out.
If that.
If that, yeah.
I feel like Ults, they got lucky. Ults is good enough to last this long.
Yeah, it's just there's so much that you can do in Ult that it doesn't feel super dry yet.
The thing that I think is that, like, Ult players, they're Ult players because they play Ult, but they're really just, like, the guys that play the newest Smash game. And I feel like if Smash 6 is similar to or, like, doesn't hit the mark that Ult does, there might be three communities, because I feel like people will still play Ult.
I think you're not wrong about that. Unless, like, Smash 6 is just Ultimate Deluxe, like, I don't see why anyone would just outright stop playing Ultimate, but I think they're going to fall into a niche that's a little bit bigger than, like, Smash 4's community.
Smash 4 is coming back.
Do you think they're going to re-release any character for DLC?
What do you mean, re-release?
Like, in the next Smash game, we don't have Bayonetta or Cloud, but, like, they announce Bayo or Cloud for DLC again.
Oh, people would light Nintendo HQ on fire if they did that. That's robbery.
They should have, like, a Paper Mario DLC.
Paper Mario would be lit.
Like, I think they're missing out. Like, no one cares about the Fire Emblem characters, really. Like, they're happy. I bet there's definitely a few people that are happy they're in the game. Like, there's representation, but there's, like, too much representation.
Yeah, but when Byleth got announced for DLC, that was stupid.
Yeah, wasn't she, like, the last DLC for the first pass?
Yeah.
Nintendo were really gambling there, because if they didn't have a second pass of DLC, then I think people would have seriously, like, hated Byleth. Because, like, you look at the first pass of DLC, and then you look at the second one, and you're like, what happened? Because the first pass was Terry, Banjo, Byleth, and who's the other one?
Joker was in there.
Yeah, Joker. And it's like, all you really have is Joker and Banjo. And then you look at the second one, you have, like, Steve, Sora, and Kazuya.
And Min Min.
Steve, Sora, and Kazuya. And, like, I guess you have Sephiroth, too. Like Sephiroth is insane.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you have Cloud in the game, Sephiroth doesn't hit as hard. Not because, like, people aren't excited for him, but because, like, once people start expecting a DLC character, like, they're automatically less hype, I think. Because no one expected Sora, they just really wanted him to be in the game.
Yeah. People always talk about Waluigi. It would have been lame DLC.
Yeah, I think Waluigi needs to be part of base game. Like, they have to release a game, and Waluigi has to be in the game when it releases. Like, I personally probably wouldn't buy Waluigi, like, as DLC.
You see that on Twitter, Akala did, like, the My Favorite 9 Games trend. It's like a little, it's like a music 3x3, but for games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bunch of games, and he ult is in there, but he also put Fighters Pass 2 on the thing. So evil.
That's the truth, though. Like, every single Fighters Pass 2 character plays a different game. Like, Sephiroth kind of plays Smash. But, like, Kazuya plays a combo trial game. Steve plays Minecraft. And Min Min plays, like, ping pong.
Sora plays SF2. I'll stand by it.
Yeah, yeah. Sora is just straight out of a SF2, which is very funny. And yet they still did it better, like Smash Flash.
Smash Flash, Sora, he's actually balanced. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, that's because everyone in that game is Steve.
It's fire. I love that game. It's like if Smash 4 was... Smash 4, but everybody has a zero to death.
I think that's what every Smash game needs to be, though. As long as the Zero to Deaths aren't, like, brain dead, like, you should be able to do them on every character. Or no one should have it.
I like how it is in Melee, where there's true combos that go to, like, 60, 70, 80%. But if you get a Zero to Death, there is, like, at least... 2 or 3 DI reads in there.
Unless you're playing Fox. No, it's like,
unless you're playing Fox.
And it's like 1 DI read.
Or 0. You could just wave Shine Peach forever.
Oh. Does Falco have true Zero to Deaths?
No.
No.